Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. I'd like to begin today by marking 5 years since the death of Pope John Paul II. The year was 2005 and it was April the 2nd, a date which, as we know, this year falls on Good Friday. A day the Polish pontiff spoke about many times in the course of his long pontificate. Let's listen to a recording from April 1993.
Good Friday commemorates the sorrowful mystery of Christ's passion and death on the cross. And during the crucifixion, Jesus took upon himself all the tragedy of human history so that mankind might be redeemed by his suffering. From the cross, we learn to follow Christ on the road to glory by sharing in his sufferings.
The fact that this anniversary coincided with Good Friday this year entailed the anticipation of the memorial mass presided over by Pope Benedict XVI to Monday of Holy Week.
Per offrire il sacrificio eucaristico in suffragio dell'anima eletta del venerabile Giovanni Paolo II del quinto anniversario della sua dipartita.
Why not linger for a moment on the words of our present Pope, who on this occasion highlighted, among other things, how his predecessor to the See of Peter was motivated by his love for Christ.
Ciò che lo muoveva era l'amore verso Cristo.
An overwhelming and unconditional love.
Un amore sovrabbondante e incondizionato.
John Paul II, the Pope went on to stress, never doubted in the goodness of God, convinced it had constantly acted as a companion throughout his life, marking the latter part of his life in a special way. A time this when, despite his progressive physical weakness, his rock-solid faith was never even dented, but continued to be a beacon of hope and love. He abandoned himself totally for Christ, for the Church, and for the whole world. He experienced his suffering to the very end, for love and with love.
La sua è stata una sofferenza vissuta fino all'ultimo per amore e con amore.
Listening to extracts from Pope Benedict's homily at this Memorial Mass on Monday of Holy Week made me think back to the latter days of the pontificate of John Paul II. The first pope ever to allow the world to scrutinize so closely physical failings. And as I'm about to bring you some brushstrokes from that canvas of physical failings, I'd like to begin with the days when his physical presence was strikingly strong. As indeed his voice brings home to one. The year is 1986, so not even 10 years into his pontificate, the place Wellington, New Zealand. And as you'll hear in a few seconds, this athletic-looking pope is speaking to the sick and suffering. Thousands of them gathered around him, eager to glean a little reassurance and comfort.
It was the suffering and death of Christ that displayed the works of God most eloquently.
The Pope's voice is warm, betraying emotion, but above all, perhaps, empathy. With those frailer members of society gathered around him, he relates to them effortlessly. After all, only 5 years earlier, this Polish pope, an energetic sportsman brimming with health, had suddenly closed ranks with them, the physically suffering. It's a well-known story once sprung on us on a sunny and relaxed spring afternoon of May 1981. The Pope stands, Samson-like and agile in his white cassock on a white jeep, in a crowded St. Peter's Square, athletically reaching out to make physical contact with as many of the pilgrims as possible. When out of the blue, gunshots ring out, wounded, he falters, is rushed to hospital. And from his hospital bed, he gains first-hand knowledge of what it means to be ill, deepening his insight into the effect physical suffering has on the human psyche, an awareness expressed half a decade later in New Zealand.
Perhaps some of you may ask God why you have been singled out for a life that is different from the lives of other people.
This dilemma, so common among those who suffer, is one he addresses in the very next breath.
But in the providence of God, a different life does not mean a less important life. It does not mean a life with less potential for holiness or for contributing to the well-being of the world.
What Pope John Paul didn't know at the time he pronounced these words was to what extent his own life would be physically affected by suffering. How he would return to hospital 7 times, how the signs of suffering would slowly begin to affect his daily gestures. How the press would zoom in with their cameras scrutinising his physical failings. From his inability to stoop and kiss the soil of a nation when he travelled, to the shaky hand when he read his speeches, and his incapacity to walk, to correctly pronounce words. But what this Pope always knew was that he was firm in his faith, never faltering in his commitment as head of the Catholic Church, even from his sickbed, ever since that first time he was admitted to hospital as one of the cardinals to elect him Pope, American William Wakefield Baum recounts.
While he was in the hospital, during the period of recuperation, perhaps you know, he received all of the cardinals of the Curia, one by one. He would inquire of us what was going on. He wanted to know, be brought up to date on how things were moving. And then he encouraged us and reminded us all that he was offering his sufferings also for the work of his colleagues who were serving him and serving the church. And we experienced that very much, the effects of his prayerful suffering for us.
Prayerful suffering, best symbolized for me in that image of Pope John Paul II praying, visibly in difficulty, in the Lourdes Grotto in August 2004. An image starkly cruel, showing him slipping to the ground as he knelt. One in strong contrast with modern trends where the rule of thumb is to hide all physical failing, but one reflecting a powerful witness to spiritual and moral strength, forged, perhaps, in the early stages of his life, at a personal level, with first the loss of his mother at the age of 10 and the death of his brother just into his teens, and more broadly by the harsh scenario of the world surrounding him as a young man, the wartime experience, the years of concealment and resistance, under first the Nazis and then the communists.
Do not be afraid when love requires sacrifice. Do not be afraid of the cross of Christ. The cross is the tree of life. It is the source of all joy and peace.
Do not be afraid, a message Pope John Paul II incessantly repeated ever since the early days of his pontificate.
and in the latter years of his pontificate as the physically ailing pontiff, was handed over to the arms of infirmity. He may no longer have been able to pronounce these words with force, but he forcefully showed the world he was not afraid. How suffering, rather than vanquish his vigour, gave him powerful inner strength to lead the Catholic Church. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.